Network News on Freedom 93 FM is brought to you by Kraft Nissan.
Would you like to feel good by making a difference? You can. Turn that old car into a valuable and helpful part of your community. Donating your old car, truck, boat, or RV provides job training and opportunities for someone in need and a nice tax deduction for you. Call Goodwill today, 850-656-8000, and your vehicle can give the gift of self-esteem that comes with a job today. Donate your vehicle to Goodwill, 656-8000. That's 850-656-8000.
This just in, coverage from Farm Bureau takes the risk out. For your home, car, farm, or business, call 671-3276. That's 671-FARM. Farm Bureau, here today, here tomorrow.
Freedom 93 FM.
Danger, adventure, and breathtaking thrills.
Where Tallahassee comes to talk.
Connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Chris Ann Hall here behind the Liberty First microphone. Beautiful Friday morning. Thanking God this morning, as I do every morning, when I wake up with air in my lungs and liberty in my heart. This is going to be a great day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, because guess what? No matter how bad it gets, I believe, I know, God is still in charge. And guess what? The end of the story has been written. And I don't have to fret and fear over what evil men may do, because we are guaranteed that evil men will exist. We are guaranteed that evil men will do. But I don't have to fret and worry over what evil men may do, because I have a guarantee that if I stand with God, I will never stand alone. If I will stand for the gift that God has given me of liberty, and those guarantees that come along with it, then I don't have to fear evil men or what they may do. What's the worst they can do? Take my birthday? No. See, that's the advantage that I have over evil men. Evil men live their lives in fear. Fear over loss of power. Fear over loss of influence. Fear over loss of whatever their security is tied to. But see, my security is not tied to those things, so I don't have to fear of losing them. My security is tied in the knowledge that the one who provides my security will never, ever leave me nor forsake me. So you know what? Marco Rubio can hate me. He can declare that he will not speak anywhere where I will be. Which I find interesting, by the way. Could we just pause there for a second? This is not something that I'm making up. Marco Rubio has actually come out and said, he will not be any place I am. Let's look at that a second. Marco Rubio will be in a place where John McCain is and Lindsey Graham. Marco Rubio will be in a place with Hillary Clinton and John Kerry. Marco Rubio will be in a place with Barack Obama. But Marco Rubio will not be in a place with me? I find that really, really telling. What a sad man Marco Rubio has become. When the likes of me intimidates him and offends him more than Barack Obama. I find that extremely amusing. That Marco Rubio is so offended by the truth, he can't even be in the presence of it. Because he's got to surround himself with people who lie. That's the only way Marco Rubio is comfortable. And yet, we still have to think him to be the savior of this country. What a sad, sad world do we live in. You know, I read somewhere about our governor here in Florida. Yeah, our governor in Florida is going to be giving a speech at the Americans for Prosperity convention. And this article in our Sunshine State News said that if Rick Scott gives a great speech at the Americans for Prosperity convention, then guess what? We will be able to rally behind him once again. See, this herein lies the problem that we have in this country, where speeches can undo evil deeds. Yeah, I'm not afraid of calling Rick Scott and his doing evil. Now, I won't say that Rick Scott is evil, although I think you could probably make that association. That is a personal judgment, but I can very well describe his deeds as being evil. And at best, Rick Scott is a liar. Because I sat in front of Rick Scott. I stood next to Rick Scott during his campaign rallies. Or I guess not his rallies, but his attendance at Tea Party rallies throughout the campaign, where he said he would fight Obamacare with his last breath. Last time I checked, he was still breathing. And the last time I checked, he's no longer fighting Obamacare, which means Rick Scott is a liar. But then you have to follow in, you know, his support of Common Core, his pandering for votes, because he and Jennifer Carroll, where did she go? He and Jennifer Carroll both said, we are not doing this for re-election. We are going to do what's right because it's right, and we don't care about re-election. And yet Rick Scott still panders for votes. He is a liar. I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm not afraid to say that because that's exactly who he is. But apparently, as people, we can forgive him of $30 million from the Chinese to fund charter schools. We can forgive him for pandering to the teachers' unions who are destroying our education system. We can forgive him for fighting to get Common Core placed in this state. We can forgive him for finding socialist to run our Department of Education. We can forgive him for all of this stuff. We can forgive him for firing, for unlawfully removing a sheriff from office, for standing for the Second Amendment. We can forgive Rick Scott for being such a bully that he would fight to bankrupt and deprive Nick Finch of his livelihood in order to gain to remain his intact with his reputation. We can forgive them that if he gives a great speech. Yeah. That's what's wrong with our country today. And so what we have here is a situation where we are seeing our government engage in things that governments have engaged in throughout centuries when they become immoral, led by an immoral people. You see, in 1688, tyranny was coming to a head. James II had passed his decree, or issued his decree, called Religious Liberty, in which he declared, in an executive order, that the people of Great Britain no longer had to be members of the Church of England. They could practice whatever religion they wanted to practice. They could practice anywhere they wanted to practice. They could have any church leader they wanted and worship any god they chose in any way they wished. And he said the Church of England could not prosecute you for that. You are now free to worship your god in any manner that you choose, according to the dictates of your conscience. Sound like a good king? Well, you always got to watch out for the tit-for-tat fine print. Because in this executive order, where James II issued his religious liberty decree, he also said, guess what? Before you have church, before you have church and worship your God any way you want, you must comply with the king's directives. And this is what you must do. Number one, you must first tell the king where you'll be meeting. You'll have to tell him when you'll be meeting. You'll have to tell him who will be preaching. You'll have to tell him what will be preached and who will be in attendance. And then, the key to all of this, you must promise in writing that you will never, ever, ever say anything that even might be construed as being negative toward the king. And just to ensure that you understand, the king is very serious with this executive order, that you cannot say anything that will be even construed as being negative to the king, he has issued a new law called seditious libel. Seditious libel says that when you engage in this activity that might be construed as being negative towards the king, guess what? You are a criminal. You will have your day in court, you will be tried, but you will go to prison for life, which is a death sentence in 1688, because, you know, prisons are not cable TV and workout rooms. But guess what? With seditious libel, truth is no defense. So even if you're right, you're wrong, and you die. Enter in Barack Obama.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
James II issues a decree called Religious Liberty and then requires you, if you're going to have church, to inform the king of where and when and who and what will be said and who will be in attendance. And you must promise that you will never ever say anything that will be construed as being negative towards the king, punishable by death, thanks to a new law called seditious libel. Seditious libel is written in such an interesting way that truth is no defense. So even if you're right in your disagreement with the king, you're wrong and you die. Enter in Barack Obama. An ad, one rodeo clown. See, remove all the sensationalism aside. Ignore the fact that this has happened, before, with George Bush, and we didn't have this kind of outcry because we didn't have this kind of a tyrant before. Now, George Bush was not a liberty ruler, but he was not a tyrant in this way. You see, now that we have Barack Obama, we have a new seditious libel. You cannot even do anything that might be construed as being negative to the king. And herein lies the real problem with rodeo clowns who look like Barack Obama. Seditious libel. Because you see, it is not the fact that he looked like Barack Obama. And may I mention that it has absolutely nothing to do with Barack Obama's race. Although that's the first thing that you'll hear, right? Because the Fair Commission called the stunt unacceptable. And then one spectator likened it to a Ku Klux Klan rally. I mean, seriously, have we become that far removed that we think a rodeo clown with a mask of Barack Obama is like a Ku Klux Klan rally? Because I'm thinking maybe they haven't been to a Klan rally lately. See, it has nothing to do with his race. And it has everything to do with seditious libel. Because you cannot disagree with the king. And what is the problem with seditious libel? The seditious libel problem is not that you can't criticize the king. The seditious libel problem is the punishment for criticizing the king. Well, now this rodeo clown has been banned for life. The governor is condemning what happened. I'm sorry, Lieutenant Governor. Lieutenant Governor Pete Kinder, a Republican, condemned the actions disrespectful to POTUS. And now, if you want to be a rodeo clown in Missouri, you must undergo sensitivity training or you can't have a job. And God forbid you criticize the king, because if you do, you will be banned for life. So we still haven't gotten to the real problem. What is the real problem? The real problem with seditious libel. The real problem with the punishments for disagreeing with the king exist because, guess what? People will no longer disagree with the king. See, we have the First Amendment as a protection. Not necessarily to protect our speech, because we are the only ones that can do that. The Constitution cannot protect our speech, but to put government on notice that they're not to touch it. Ever wonder what kind of president Barack Obama is? Well, apparently, he's not a president. He's a king who wants to put you to figurative death for disagreeing with him. Free speech. Use it or lose it.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Barack Obama, we have just proven, is a tyrant king, just like James II. And the problem with rodeo clowns who look like Barack Obama is not that they remind us of Ku Klux Klan rallies, but they remind us that Barack Obama is a tyrannical king who wants to shut you up and deny you just one more liberty. So I'm going to sing Daryl Day's favorite song this morning because I feel like it. Oops, there goes another liberty. Oops, there goes another liberty. Oops, there goes another liberty gone. Thank you, Barack Obama. But the question then becomes, how much longer will we suffer this tyrant? When we don't have to. I have a special guest on the line today. Pastor Carl Gallups, who
Chris
is involved.
Ann.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm so glad you were able to join us this morning. Hey, I want everybody to recognize the fact that Carl loves me so much he'd get up at 5:30 in the morning. Actually, yeah, 5:30 in the morning for me.
Yeah, well, actually, yeah, I got up 30 minutes ago just to get a little caffeine in me, so I got up at 5 o'clock for you.
Yeah, watch out, caffeine involved. So tell us, please, because I'm very interested. You are involved with something very important that has to do with our tyrant, King Barry.
Yeah, yes, I am. I have been involved. Well, I'm a pastor and a former law enforcement officer in Florida 10 years.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah. I was a deputy sheriff in two different counties and worked in the state Department of Corrections, not only at the officer level early on, but at the administrative level later on, and was the assistant director of a bureau with the Florida Department of Corrections in the central office. So between the two sheriff's offices and the Department of Corrections, had quite a little run there in the law enforcement field. But been a pastor for almost 30 years. I've been in talk radio, have a talk radio program for...
You're an author, too.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Last year, became a best-selling author of a book, and it's got another book with a documentary movie coming out this year by my publishers. And so... Anyway, excited about all that, but...
Let me interject here for just a second, Carl, because I want to plug... I don't know your new book yet, but I want to plug the old book. Now, you know my husband is a pastor as well.
Yes.
And my husband thinks your book, which is called The Magic Man in the Sky, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It thinks that your book is the greatest thing next to sliced bread, and he has used the principles in that book to witness to people about the gospel of Christ.
I am just blown away and honored. I know your husband. He's a precious man, a dear brother in the Lord, and he's a tremendous preacher. I've heard him preach before, and for you to say that is a great encouragement to me. I had no idea that he had read my book, and God bless you for saying that.
Oh, well, he not only reads it, he recommends it to everybody that he sees. But let's stick on track now. What are you doing in regard to King Barry and his tyranny?
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, because of my work in radio, I got involved in the issue of his identifying documents being all locked down 5-6 years ago. Every one of his identifying documents. Now, this is way before this issue became a birther issue. I just thought that was odd, and I thought that
was
very...
Well, and I think that's very important, Carl, to us to recognize, because I've met with Mike Zulu, and I've met with Joe Arpaio. This is not about birther, and the thing is that through Alinsky tactics, that Obama and his crew have significantly damaged what you're trying to do here by labeling this. This is nothing, to do with birth certificates. This has to do with criminal fraud.
Well, no, yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. I mean, it started off with the locking down of the documents and just that strange thing. And then the next thing you know, of course, then questions came up about, well, you know, let's at least see his birth certificate. Nobody really knows where he's from. So that's where the birther tag started. And then, of course, it moved from there. You got to remember, you and your audience, the Senate investigated John McCain's background. They had Senate hearings on his birth certificate and his place of birth and who his parents were. Senate Resolution 501 was the result of that. So this is not an odd thing to ask. This is not an un-American or a racist or an unconstitutional thing. In fact, it's a constitutional thing. Article 20, Section 6 actually requires, of course, I'm talking to a constitutional attorney, actually requires that Congress, you know, knows the qualifications of the one as president and vice president. But anyway, yes, through the years, I've become very involved, very close to the cold case posse investigation. Mike Zullo and I have traveled to Washington together. We've spoken to congressmen together. We've been to CPAC 2013 together, presenting this criminal case. And we talk on the phone several times a day. And so I know almost everything that Mike Zullo has and knows about this criminal case, and we have done our very best to get it out before the world. So that's how involved I am in it. Well, in the meantime, the latest story about this, first of all, the whole issue is moving forward, and we're trying to get a congressional investigation on this. And we've got a congressman, several congressmen, actually, that are making us some promises, I'm going to say, that they're really, really moving and working to bring this to some type of a congressional investigation level. So we're excited about that.
Well, let me mention that I have seen the evidence. I was involved in a private meeting with Mike Zullo,
yes,
at the Constitutional Sheriffs and Police Officers Association training in Missouri. It was,
yep,
a locked room with a limited guest list only, and I have seen this evidence, and it is very stunning. And it is amazing. What is more stunning to me is that you have met with politicians and tried to give them this information, and they refused to even see the evidence. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you about that. Yeah, and as a matter of fact, Chris Ann, sometime when we're not on the air, you and I need to talk, and you and Mike Zullo need to talk, because further evidence, and I'll tell this for your audience, further evidence has been uncovered just in the last couple of weeks that's pretty astounding. So this investigation continues to move forward. Yes, while Mike Zullo and I were in Washington a few months back, one of the congressmen that we went to see, and this has just now hit the internet, I'll tell you the story because I've posted it, I've been all over the radio, my own radio show, and doing interviews about this. Here's what happened. We went to Capitol Hill with an appointment to see Congressman Jeff Miller, Florida's District 1, and his chief of staff, Dan McFaul. Their booking secretary, her first name is Jessica, I do not know her last name. When I got to Washington, I called Jessica and told her who I was and that I was from this congressman's district. I've known Jeff Miller for years, but I, you know, helped campaign for him when he first went in office. So, because I live in his district. So anyway, she booked me and told her I wanted to bring Mike Zullo, had him with me. We were at CPAC and wanted to speak to Jeff Miller for a few moments to tell him about this latest evidence we had, because Jeff Miller, prior to that, had refused to even talk to me about it. If I'd call his office or email him, I would never get any kind of responses. He just refused. Well, now I'm in Washington. And I thought, well, it's going to be hard for him to deny a constituent opportunity to speak to him with me traveling all the way to Washington. So, as a matter of fact, he did make an appointment. Mike Zullo and I went to Capitol Hill. We sat down with his chief of staff and Jeff Miller. And I'm gonna say for about 30 minutes. It might have been actually a little longer, maybe a little shorter, but right around 30 minutes. Mike Zullo and Jeff Miller spoke at length after I made all the introductions. And Mike presented a verbal case of everything that he had. Jeff Miller asked some very coherent questions and very appropriate questions. I was excited. I thought, well, finally, Jeff Miller is interested. He's getting it. He's understanding it. So then, between Mike Zullo and Jeff Miller, and I don't remember who brought it up first, but the conversation ensued that they should have another meeting in Florida at Jeff Miller's office in Florida. Now, this is where it gets real interesting, Chris Ann. So they're sitting there talking about that. Jeff Miller looked across the table and said, would you come with him, Carl, if I could get him to my office there in Pensacola? I said, absolutely, I'll be there. So he looked at Dan McFaul, his chief of staff, said, make this happen. Let's make this happen. I'm going to be in Florida in a couple of weeks, and I'll meet with them there. We can get out of Washington. We can spread all the stuff out. I'll look at it. He said, and then I can take it back and have some of my own forensics people look at it. I guess, you know, he's
now, Carl, let me interrupt for just a second. We have about 2 minutes before I need to cut to a break. So can you stay with us through the break, right?
Yes. Well, okay, I can just take it right up to the break. The bottom line is we got back home. We started trying to – I sent email chains to his office trying to set up that appointment. We finally got the appointment set up. I've got the entire email chain. I've got it all set up where they agreed the time, the date, the place. Zullo was going to be there. I was going to be there. Zullo bought all of his tickets, got ready to come. And then something amazing happened, and I'll tell your audience on the other side of the break. How about that?
That's great. And not only that, Carl, Jeff Miller's not the only one that you've had a run-in about this. And I hope that after the break, we will also talk about your run-in with Alan West in dealing with this.
We surely will.
Tell us real quick, how do people find out about you?
Thank you. CarlGallops.com is the easiest way. Everything about my book, my radio program, my ministry. I'm the founder of P.P. Simmons YouTube Ministries, news and ministry on the Internet. All of that's there. Everything about me, CarlGallops.com.
You know, what I love about Carl is the fact that he's a pastor, and he understands that the price of liberty requires that we stand for the gift that God has given us. And Carl is answering his obligation as given to us by God to prosper the gifts that God has given us, liberty being one, this country being another. And he's not afraid of a 501c3 threat. He is not afraid of the king. And when we come back after the break, we're going to hear how things are going to happen with Jeff Miller and Alan West. You do not want to miss this. Stick with us.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
93.3 Freedom FM. Chris Ann Hall behind the Liberty First microphone. Special guest today, Pastor Carl Gallops. Do not get caught up in the propaganda. Do not get caught up in the Alinsky tactics. This concept of Barack Obama has nothing to do with birth certificates, and it has everything to do with fraud. Welcome to our show, Pastor Gallops. Tell us again what happened. Now, you had a meeting with Jeff Miller. He wants to meet with you and Mike Zullo about this fraud issue with Barack Obama. Tell us what happens.
Yes. Well, thank you so much again for having me on, Chris Ann. Well, it gets really interesting and weird from this point forward. So we have this sit-down meeting in Washington. Everything is handled beautifully. They speak about it coherently. They ask intelligent questions. Jeff Miller and Dan McFaul, his chief of staff, act extremely interested. They seem to get it. They involve themselves in the conversation of us meeting in Florida at the Florida office. I get home. I start an email chain with the office, with Jessica, their booking secretary, with Dan McFaul, his chief of staff, lining up this meeting. Over and over, these emails, I have them. I've printed them all over the Internet. I've read them on the radio. They indicate that they're ready to meet with me and Lieutenant Zullo. All of this is in writing from Dan McFaul and from Jessica, the booking secretary. And then the last email says, hi, I'm going to read it, it's about two sentences. Hi, Carl, the office meeting next Thursday will take place in Congressman Miller's Pensacola office, et cetera, et cetera. Please let me know if you have other questions. Congressman Miller looks forward to seeing you and Lieutenant Zulo at 9 a.m. Thanks, with an exclamation point, Jessica. So that was the last email I got from their office. So a day later, I got a phone call from Dan McFall, who says, Carl, I need to talk to you. I said, okay, go ahead. He said, listen, this meeting is not going to take place. Well, that didn't surprise me. I almost expected a call like that just because I know how these politicians are. What surprised me was what happened next. I said, why is that, Dan? He said, well, we don't ever remember discussing having a meeting with Lieutenant Zulo. We don't know what you're talking about. We never said anything about meeting with Zulo. And I said, this is surreal. What do you mean? I said, I sat there for 30 minutes and listened to you guys talking about it. I said, I was involved. I said, Jeff Miller looked across the table and asked if I could be there with Zulo, if Zulo came from Arizona. He said, well, I don't remember it like that. I said, I don't care what you remember. I have the emails. I said, I think you must have forgotten that we had a whole email chain from your office and from Jessica. Well, the phone went strangely silent, and then he just said, well, I just tell you, the meeting's not going to take place. And I said, well, if you're going to stick to this story, if you're going to try to make it sound like I'm stupid or crazy, I said, I'm going to tell the world about this. I said, it's your prerogative whether you meet with me or not. That's, you know, if you'd have just been a man and said, no, we're not going to meet, I could have handled that. But for you to go through all these gyrations, Lieutenant Zulo has already purchased a plane ticket, motel room. He's rented a car. I've made all the arrangements. And we're ready to go. I've got your emails indicating that you're ready to meet with Lieutenant Zulo and me. And now you call me up and try to make me think that I'm crazy, that you guys don't know, have a clue what I'm talking about. And so anyway, that's it. So now I'm telling the world. They're quite upset about it, but I've got the email chain. I know their offices were slammed with phone calls all day yesterday. And believe it or not, the callers were calling me and telling me that Dan McFall was still saying that they never made the appointment, in spite of the fact that I'm reading his emails over the air.
So we're not surprised on this show, because Jeff Miller and I are not friends, Carl. And Jeff Miller and his staff have said some very wicked things to me, about me as well. Now, we have about 2.5 minutes, and I want you to tell people this is not the only thing that you've ran into with politicians. You had a similar conversation with Alan West.
Yes. While we were at CPAC, Mike Zulo and I ran into Alan West at dinner one night and asked to make an appointment with him, told him what it was about. He said, sure, absolutely, absolutely. Well, it seemed to us that he spent the next day and a half basically dodging us. finally, Mike Zulo was able to kind of get him in a corner and make him keep his promise to us, because we had talked to him several times during that day and a half. I spoke to him another night at dinner, and said, listen, are you going to meet with us? I said, it'll take 15 minutes. Well, anyway, Mike Zulo finally got up with him. I was just down the hall from him, and Mike Zulo presented to him what he had and told him that we were meeting with other congressmen, and we had met with several others beside Jeff Miller. And Alan West heard the evidence and said, and basically agreed that it was condemning, solid evidence, and then said, and I'm going to paraphrase, but he said something very similar to this. He said, but I'm not going to get involved in this because I have political aspirations. So in other words, he said, I'm basically going to sell this country and the Constitution down the road so that I can get a little 2-year or 6-year political job in Washington. And I've written stories about that too. I mean, this is just nauseating, Chris Ann.
It absolutely is. It's disgusting. It is offensive to me, and it should be offensive to everyone who hears it. I have been telling people Alan West is not our friend. I've been telling people Jeff Miller is not our friend. Now, Carl, I have about 20 seconds. I want you to tell us, how do we find these articles about Alan West and about Jeff Miller?
The easiest way is to go to carlgallops.com. In the top left-hand corner, click the P.P. Simmons blogspot area. You'll see it. You cannot miss it. P.P. Simmons blogspot syndicated news and ministry site. Click on that, And when you get there, there's a search box. You can put in the keywords. You can find everything. The Jeff Miller articles are some of the very first articles right now. The Alan West articles, there's three or four of those. They're much further into the blog, but you can search them with keywords.
Thank you, Carl. Now, we'll be posting this in the show notes later. So I just want to thank Carl for his time this morning. Thank him for his service to our children and this country. You have been informed. You have been educated. Now get inspired, get involved, and get to action. Have a great weekend. See you on Sunday. God bless.
What do comedy, finance, community events, and cigars have in common? You can hear about them all every Saturday right here on Freedom 93 FM. The Cigar Dave Show, Saturdays from noon till 2, only on Freedom 93 FM.
Carter Shelby Shaves, they came the same day. Fix my air, no hefty price to pay. Air Solutions, they care of me. They cut the cost of my electricity.
Are you cool when it's hot? If not, call Star Star Cool on your cell phone today for Air Solutions, the solution for your air's condition. Air Solution, on your cell phone at Star Star Cool.
Air Solutions, they care of me. They cut the cost of my...
That's Star Star Cool, license CAC 1815019.
Hi, this is the legendary Mary Bush Smith inviting you to tune in every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 o'clock a.m. for Sunday Morning Gospel. We'll feature our sponsor, TLC Chiropractor, Dr. Gregory Eisman, 850-222-5700.
From Cairo to Carabel, this is Freedom 93.3 FM, WVFT, Gretna, Tallahassee. Broadcasting from the SafeTouch Security Studios.